come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
We don't take our agenda from the polls. We don't take our agenda from what the world is saying. Our agenda is given us by the God who made us.
The media put this out as you cannot have religious liberty or you are an anti-gay bigot.
You see the president of Planned Parenthood confusing the empirical question, what is the unborn and when does life begin, with her own philosophical worldview.
The Christian husband learns what it is to be a husband who loves his wife as Christ loved the church, by experiencing how he is not like Christ.
On-demand listeners of Issues Etc. love hearing sound theology while walking the dog.
Look, it's not an unusual thing in Christian publishing for one of these things to become bestsellers. There's actually, it's usually the inspirational aisle that grows in bookstores, insofar the bookstores still exist. The inspirational aisle, it's a big moneymaker. It's a huge moneymaker. Big Christian celebrities sell books. They always have. The question is now, with regard to a book written by a rather controversial megachurch pastor, Mark Driscoll, the book being Real Marriage, how it became a bestseller. Not how much it sold, but how did it get on the bestseller list, which, of course, contributes to further sales. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Welcome back for hour two. We're coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 11th. Chris Rosebro joins us for the first few minutes. We'll talk about how Mark Driscoll's book, Real Marriage, got on those bestseller lists a little bit later. Audio Open Lines, National Public Radio, has a story about a Kentucky Baptist church that's raffling guns to attract converts. It's working, by the way. They're attracting people, and people who say, I got nothing against church, but they came for the free guns. Should churches do this? I mean, if this is the way to attract converts to the church, why stop at guns? I want your response and your reaction and your comments at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or during Audio Open Lines in the last half hour of the program. Give us a call. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Chris Rosebro is a regular guest. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California. He's host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. He is pastor-elect of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
This is just the latest of Mark Driscoll's publishing woes, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think too that kind of the blue collar guys who work in the factories, they have those safety first signs up there that says it's been so many days since we've had an incident that involves safety, and I think that they probably have a sign up at Mars Hill. It's been so many days since we've had a publishing scandal or an ethics scandal here at Mars Hill. Unfortunately, we seem to just get one scandal after another when it comes to Mark Driscoll.
The book Real Marriage, it's not that Mark Driscoll can't write a bestseller. I think he's done it before. But what's the concern here about how that particular book got onto the bestsellers lists?
Well, Warren Cole Smith of World Magazine broke the story last week that Mars Hill Church employed or contracted with a company called Result Source Incorporated, RSI. They're out of San Diego. And they actually, and on the internet, there's published copies of the contract between Mars Hill Church and Result Source Incorporated, which spells out basically a scheme to game the system to put Mark Driscoll's book, Real Marriage, on the New York Times bestseller list. And the scheme involved purchasing 11,000 copies of Real Marriage, and these had to, and you got to understand how the New York Times list works. These copies had to be bought at full price, or at least on market price, and couldn't have been bought at the author's discount. So the contract itself lays out an elaborate scheme for purchasing these books and then having them shipped. And then Result Source talks about the fact that they have 1,000 different ways in which to purchase these books using different names and addresses and things like that in order to game the system so that it couldn't be detected by the New York Times and by Amazon and other retailers as to what was happening, as a means of inflating the numbers and then making it so that he could be a New York Times bestseller. In other words, it's not that his book really was a New York Times bestseller. He deceived the public by gaming the system and made it appear as if it was a New York Times bestselling book. And
it's really, kind of a wickedly ingenious scheme that this company was running for Driscoll in terms of getting the church had to provide names under which these things would be ordered, a certain number of different names, to not get detected by the system set up by the New York Times bestseller list.
Right. In fact, Result Source has actually been in the media before. Last year, a Forbes magazine article actually discussed this particular technique and Result Source specifically regarding how they were getting people on the New York Times bestselling list. And the Forbes magazine, the guy who actually wrote the article, a direct quote, said that this amounts to a laundering operation, because what it ends up doing is creating demand for a book that otherwise wouldn't, which then results in a landfall or a windfall of money and royalties and sales of the book that normally wouldn't come to a book that isn't written as well. In fact, yesterday, Dr. Duncan from Anderson University in Anderson, South Carolina, on his Pajama Pages blog, actually documented that that he estimates that Mark Driscoll, as a result of making the New York Times bestseller list, probably profited personally to the tune of $500,000 because of this particular technique. So, they clearly profited from it financially. There's no way around that.
It's not like this consulting company is going to lay out its own money to buy these books. Where did the money come from to do the initial purchase, this kind of laundering purchase that gained it a spot on the best-selling list?
Well, both Warren Colesmith and Warren Throckmorton, who have been writing on this, stand by their sources and say their sources have confirmed and told them that the money used to actually pay Result Source and to purchase the copies of the book came from tithes and offerings that were made to Mars Hill Church itself. Mars Hill Church actually was the one who paid Result Source for it, and they did it from tithes and offerings.
What kind of maybe I'm just kind of applying apples and oranges here, Chris, but if I were to write a book, I would not expect the congregation I serve to buy a bunch of copies, especially out of the general fund.
In fact, this is where it kind of gets into a potentially thorny IRS legal issue. And that is that some have actually made the claim that although technically this is not embezzling of church funds, it's against the law. And there's a particular portion of the IRS tax code for nonprofits that talk about what's called inurement. Inurement is that you can't use the funds of the nonprofit to specifically, in a very outrageous way, benefit one member or one particular person who's on the board or serves a nonprofit. And so there's questions that are floating around out there as to whether or not this was actually a breach of IRS tax code law, which, if it is, could result in Mars Hill Church paying fines and penalties or, in a worst-case scenario, losing their tax-exempt status.
Has there been any reaction, any response from Mark Driscoll or from Mars Hill?
Yes. not from Mark Driscoll himself, but from Mars Hill's Board of Accountability Advisors. They have issued a public statement basically saying that this decision, although technically not illegal, was unwise, and that it was never done before and hasn't been done since and will never be done again. And so when you kind of read between the lines of the whole statement, they don't actually admit to any wrongdoing. They haven't confessed that what they've done is wrong, but they said they pretty much made it clear they'll never do it again. And the way they wrote their statement, it made it sound like, oh, well, this was the idea. We were advised by somebody counseling us to engage in this kind of marketing strategy, but we admit that it was unwise and we'll never do it again. That's pretty much the gist of what they've said.
But haven't their statements actually migrated a little bit? Didn't they start out in a more defensive posture and then kind of as the story became clearer say, oh, by the way, yeah, it was unwise?
Yeah, actually, this is, Warren Throckmorton on his blog has actually documented the fact that the official statements coming out of Mars Hill have actually been edited and changed. Early on, they basically said that this was a marketing opportunity, and now their statement that says that it was a marketing opportunity has disappeared from the Mars Hill website, and the verbiage has officially changed to it was an unwise decision. So, yeah, there's some changing of the statements on their part, which basically says that this is a very, very serious charge, and they're having to rethink what they're saying, because what they're saying is actually being used against them, kind of in the public discussion on the topic.
Am I right in that also a claim made at Mark Driscoll's bio that is kind of his official bio on the Mars Hill website has dropped the issue of this book, Real Marriage, being a bestseller?
That's correct. On Mark Driscoll's official bio now at the Mars Hill Church's website, it no longer says that he's a New York Times best-selling author. And so that, that moniker has now been dropped because, everybody knows that he doesn't actually legitimately have a claim to being a New York Times best-selling author. He gamed the system in order to get that title.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about how Mark Driscoll's book, Real Marriage, became a bestseller. Chris has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. And he is the new pastor-elect of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. We'll be right back with more talking about Mark Driscoll's publishing woes. How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, March the 11th, we're talking about Mark Driscoll's latest book, Real Marriage, and how it became a bestseller. It fits within the context, of course, of the other publishing woes that Driscoll has been experiencing. I want to get into those in a minute here, Chris, but how important is the book publishing to the creation and the maintenance of what I call, sometimes they're called rock star pastors, but I think they really are, like if you include someone like Joel Osteen, they're media empire pastors. How important is the book to that?
It's vitally important, because what you'll find is that, you know, within the celebrity church culture, you know, celebrity pastor culture, you know, people just can't get enough from that pastor. And so what happens is that they're publishing books at the rate of probably about one a year, which is at a very accelerated rate. And oftentimes those books then are used throughout other mega churches who are kind of in the same network of celebrity pastors. They're used at other churches within their small group Bible studies and things like that, or those become the basis for sermon series that are preached in other seeker-driven churches around the country. For instance, Stephen Furtick's book *Sun Stand Still*. Not only was that a very popular book that was important, you know, for, you know, maintaining and helping to build the celebrity of Stephen Furtick. I mean, if you were to Google *Sun Stand Still* and type in sermon series, you'll find that that book then forms the basis for all kinds of sermons that were preached in smaller, upstart, seeker-driven church plants and mega churches around the country and the world. And so, within that network, these books play an important part of kind of reinforcing not only the celebrity culture itself, but also reinforcing some of the unique ideas and concepts and doctrines and practices within the broader seeker-driven movement by providing small group material and sermon series material throughout the network.
See, I've noticed that cycle. You could do it with almost any of these guys. Joel Osteen is a prime example. He'll preach a series of sermons. About a year later, those sermons are published as a book. The book, you're not told when you buy the book that you've already heard this before, if you're one of his big fans, but it is. It's just his sermons in book form, and it becomes a best-selling book, and then the cycle perpetuates itself.
Correct. And there's a lot of money to be made in this. We're not talking small amounts of money. We're talking about millions upon millions of dollars. And so, for lack of a better way of putting it, I think some of the major Christian publishing houses, they have, let's just say, they don't have as much of a commitment to sound doctrine in these books as they do a commitment to making a profit and having a large bottom line at the end of the year through the sales of these books. And so they're capitalizing on it, making a lot of money, and they're always on the lookout, you know, the hunt for upcoming exciting talent that they can then groom and make them the next big mega church celebrity with the book contracts and things like that. It's this perpetual cycle, and money seems to be the thing that's driving it.
Well, I'm also concerned about accountability, and I'm not going to impugn Rick Warren in this respect, because I think he attempts to be as accountable as he can to the congregation he serves out in California, but he's independently wealthy. He doesn't depend on his congregation out there for anything anymore. In fact, I think he's probably he's living off the grid. I mean, he's selling stuff back to them, tithing back his salary and more to that church. He's probably making a lot more for the church than he's costing them. But there is the issue of accountability when your pastor basically has book deal after book deal and doesn't need to answer to anybody.
Yeah, there is a huge problem here. And it's not just with the book deals. It's kind of within the network itself. And you know, there's people who are now leadership team employees at some of these mega churches who are talking about how the system itself works. And so what will happen is that not only are the book deals important, but then what happens is if you can get that New York Times best-selling status, which is happening to a lot of these seeker-driven guys, which makes you wonder if they're not employing the same technique. But once you have that status, then your speaking fees are for all of these different conferences go up. And so, you know, there's a lot of financial, let's just say, potential for corruption, and it looks like the temptation has been given into. There's a lot of money corruption going on within the network among these megastars, and this is actually a huge, huge problem. So much so that, I mean, even recently, John Piper has addressed this problem and is making pleads and pleading with up and coming pastors to be accountable, to not set the system up in such a way that that you've got some kind of autocracy where the pastor is really the one calling all the shots with no accountability. That really leads to a situation where the temptations and the weakness of the flesh and the lust of the eyes can really come in and take over. And unfortunately, I think that's some of what we're seeing in the Driscoll scandal.
Among Driscoll's other publishing woes are stories that came out a couple months ago about plagiarism in some of his books and then some of the other material that is provided on the Mars Hill website. What's the latest on that?
Well, unfortunately, that scandal continues to unfold without much notice, though. That scandal itself took up about a month when it was breaking at the end of last year. Right around Thanksgiving time is when it broke, and it wasn't resolved until right before the Christmas break when Mars Hill finally issued a statement where they admitted that mistakes were made. And the initial charge was that, you know, there was plagiarism in his most recent book, but as the story began to unfold, there was plagiarism found in other books, and by December, it was clearly demonstrated that there had been plagiarism that took place in four books that were published by Driscoll, and now the number is up to seven. And then last week, the Wenatchee the Hatchet blog site noted the fact that that not only has Driscoll plagiarized, you know, in his books, but that, you know, now there's questions about whether or not there's plagiarism that has been taking place in his sermons, and they demonstrated that there was a large segment of a sermon that he preached at one of the Baptist seminaries that the content of that actually has its origin in Tim Keller, and Driscoll didn't give credit where credit was due. And yet, on his website, he demands that if people quote him or get ideas from him, that they don't plagiarize him and they have to give credit to Driscoll. So there's some interesting hypocrisy that goes along with that.
Does that take us back to that cycle again? Because if he decides he's going to plagiarize a sermon, and that sermon eventually, without planning to, that sermon eventually gets included by a publisher in one of his books, then you got two counts of plagiarism from one act.
Yeah, you do. And what I find fascinating is that since the beginning of the year, Driscoll's publishers, and you know, he's got books published with several different publishing houses. They've all gone back through his books with a fine-tooth comb, and especially on the Kindle editions, they are issuing new and updated versions of his books that actually have proper citations in them, and so they're quietly cleaning up behind him after the admission was that there were, quote, were mistakes made. You have to put that in air quotes. And so, yeah, there's a lot, there's so much here. And the problem is this, is that these scandals, I mean, the plagiarism scandal in and of itself, that's theft and lying. That disqualifies him from the office of pastor, because the biblical standard is he has to be above reproach, and he's not. And now this other publishing issue regarding the New York Times bestseller status and using church tithes and offerings to make him a New York Times bestseller, that itself alone also disqualifies him from being a pastor. And it's clear that from the way his board, his accountability board is operating, that they're not willing to actually stand by the biblical standard regarding the office of the ministry for Mark Driscoll. And he's pretty much, you know, continuing to get away with really just some kind of weird, almost Clintonian slap on the wrist for the stuff that he's done.
With only about 30 seconds here, the pressure once you're into that rock star status, that celebrity status, to get a best-selling book, because that's what the rock stars do, obviously leads to compromise. Someone at some point said, let's hire this company. We know what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, but let's do it anyway. Your final thoughts on that, Chris, with about 30 seconds.
That kind of pressure is not any kind of pressure that any pastor should be under. The pressure that a pastor should feel is the pressure put on him by the Word of God to rightly handle God's Word and to preach Christ and not himself. There's something terribly wrong and corrupt regarding the whole premise of the way the celebrity pastor culture is working, and unfortunately, the fruit that it's bearing is bearing fruit that is of scandal and really besmirching the name of Christ. And it's time for the Christian church to clean up its act and take a look at the entire tree itself and say, this thing is not a good tree. We need to cut it down and rethink all of this.
Chris Roseborough has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, Irvine, California, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith, pastor-elect of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. You can listen to Fighting for the Faith right after the conclusion of Issues, Etc. at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. You can also meet and hear Chris teaching on making the case against me-centered, misquoted scriptures at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 13th and Saturday, June the 14th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information on the conference, look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or just give Craig a call, 618-223-8385. Ask for Craig, 618-223-8385. The Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 13th and 14th. In Collinsville, Illinois. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's audio open lines, Issues, Etc. We got a story from National Public Radio to play for you. It's about a Kentucky Baptist church that decided to attract converts in a way that, you know, maybe you can do pretty successfully if you're living in Kentucky. Not to engage in any undue stereotypes. I come from the Deep South myself. Why not a gun raffle? Why not give away a table full of guns in a raffle to attract converts to your church? Why not? That's my question for you. A lot of churches in the church growth movement, in the seeker-sensitive movement, have said, look, whatever it takes to bring people in, whatever it takes to get people to sign on the dotted line, we want converts. And if it takes raffling off a pile of guns, let's do that. Or maybe you're not in Kentucky. You don't want to raffle off guns. We've talked before on Audio Open Lines about churches that have raffled off cars on Easter Sunday morning to attract people in, and it does attract people in. Can that be a bad thing? I like your reaction, your comments to this National Public Radio story. We'll play it for you on the other side of the break during Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case Conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.